Hi, and welcome to Happiness Through Hardship, the podcast, where we share positive stories and suggestions about finding hope, resources, and connections to help us all get through hard times. I'm Karen Sullivan, a mom, an author, and a stage 4 cancer patient who's always looking around me for inspiration. I believe in surrounding myself with people and experiences that make me smile. And that's what I'm hoping to do for you today. So grab your favorite drink, get cozy, and let's get started. I am so excited to introduce you to corporate exec gone entrepreneur, Tondi Montgomery. An expert in advertising for brands like AstraZeneca, Capital One, Cinnabon, The Home Depot, Verizon Wireless, and more, Tondi is now a prominent entrepreneur, and after overcoming a battle with breast cancer, has dedicated her outreach to women's health, wellness, and self-discovery. Through appearances on CBS Texas, Fox News, and her book, 15 Positive Affirmations, she has inspired those everywhere to unlock their truth and shift their focus from existing to living. Tondi, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Karen, for the opportunity. I'm excited.
Well, I want to jump in. This whole shift from existing to living, I think I can guess what it is because so many people just ride the roller coaster life, or what is it? Maybe more the hamster wheel, going. They keep on going. But I want to open the floor to you. Can you talk to us a little bit about, I think it's your philosophy, where you're giving yourself permission and space to embrace who you are. Life begins with finding your truth.
Yes.
What is that? And explain more how you came to it.
You know, Karen, you know, that's a really good question. And I would say in life, and you were spot on when you said about the proverbial hamster wheel or the hedonic treadmill. A lot of times in life, we're just going and going and going, and we're in grind mode. And we seldomly stop to think about, am I living the life that I want to live? Am I fulfilling my purpose? Am I doing my true calling? And so my philosophy is, well, you said something at first, like, how do I help women shift from existing to living? Some people are comfortable being stuck. Some people are very comfortable being stuck. And so it's like my mission in life is to help women all around the world shift from existing to living. And how do I do that? You help them find their truth. And so I use an acronym, Karen, in terms of finding your space. It's a framework that I use with all my clients. And the S stands for self-reflection, right? So before you can shift from existing to living, before you can find your truth, take that time to do some introspection. Who am I at the core? What do I want to do? What was I born to do? So that's the first step, is the S, that's self-reflection.
Do you care that I jump in here a little bit as we go through this?
Yeah, let's
because
do
I
it.
Think yes. I think it's important self-reflection. Like I love to journal. I journaled when I was a kid. I think you and I were talking about at one point, you know, I wrote a book. You wrote a book.
Yes.
When you write a book, sometimes people are great and they can take everything off the top of their head. Mm-hmm. I went back and I went into my journal notes. So that's been something that's been comfortable for me. When you're talking to your clients or when you're out giving motivational speeches and you're talking about self-reflection, can you give us some ideas of other ways? Like how, like we may or may not know the questions, but how can we do the work, you know, in addition to journaling?
Yeah. So in addition to journaling, I love meditation and yoga. That's how I start my day. So when I wake up in the morning and my feet hit the ground, first of all, I express gratitude for another day. And then I have a meditation room. I transform my hallway closet to a meditation room. And I go in there and I literally think about what is it that I want to accomplish. So really starting with intentionality. And so when you think about the introspection, when you think about intentionality, that is a way for us to have that self-reflection and that time to really think about what we want to do.
Well, I think that is important because how many times do we jump into the day we
reactive
on
mode.
Our phones, right? The alarm goes off. I do it. Many of us do it, and you just start our day. And I think being intentional about even if you've got 20 things on your to-do list to get done by 9 a.m., to think of something. I think starting small, because I'm all about, yeah. You know, when I started Pretty Wellness, my brand 10 years ago, mm-hmm. it was all about taking small steps. Because even though yes. I made the lifestyle changes, small steps are important to me. Is taking a small step might be just thinking about what's one thing that you intentionally mm-hmm. want to do today.
Exactly.
So, all right. I like these ideas of, so the S, all right, the acronyms, it starts with an S, which is self-reflection. Yes. What comes next?
So the next space is the P. And so that's when you have to come up with a plan. And so, Karen, after you do your self-reflection, whether it's what do I want to do for the day or what do I want to do for the upcoming year? You reflect on that and then you come up with a plan. So whether it's, to your point, a simple 1-2-step plan or whether it's a, you know, 2024 plan for next year, what is it that you want to do? So it's you take the idea and put it on paper. And that's what the P is for.
Well, and I will say, I've heard so many people in my corporate career, mm-hmm. clearly we had, you know, there was all sorts of plans, executive yeah. summaries and you yes. know, decks that talked about the, whether it was the upcoming fiscal year plan or the plan around a campaign, mm-hmm. we had a lot of plans. Yeah. But even in your personal life, coming up with a plan, if you want to lose weight for your wedding, okay, that time yeah. is, you know, way in the past for me, but... Mm-hmm. You need a plan.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you can have the goal, but if you mm-hmm. don't have the plan to get yes. you there, right? Mm-hmm. Can you talk about, like, I don't know, throw out an idea there of a goal that somebody might have had in self-reflection and mm-hmm. what might the plan look like?
Well, in self-reflection, it could be, you know, Tondi, I want to start my own business. You know, I want to leave corporate and I want to start my own business. And, you know, of course, you can't just do that from day one. So the goal is, how do I make the transition from being a corporate executive or a corporate employee to now running my own business? And so I would look at my client and say, you know, that's a very aspirational goal. I believe in you. It's very doable. Now, let's break it down into actionable steps. So, of course, what are your SMART goals starting there? And then once you have those SMART goals, how do we identify 1-2 things to do every day to move forward to that goal? So it could be making connections. It could be working on your business and marketing plan. It could be, let me make sure I have the revenue in place so that I can begin to transition. So again, I am all about making that 1% transformation every single day to get to that end goal.
I like that. I was yeah. almost here going to push you and be like, well, for the person that's really busy or the person that's stuck might feel very overwhelmed. Can mm-hmm. you know, can we do it just on the weekends? Which I mm-hmm. do think mm-hmm. that one could.
Yes.
And I like how you also talk about how doing it every day, though, puts you in the, you know, it probably puts you in the mindset of
exactly.
even if I'm just doing, writing one email mm-hmm. to a connection that maybe they can meet me for a matcha or a coffee, that yeah. is one effort. It doesn't have to be huge.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I want to say in all, we're talking business here, in my business, that was the way I started. Mm-hmm. And I think I look back to other things. When I left corporate, I wanted to go to grad school. Mm-hmm. And so I spent a lot of time on the side before I resigned looking into what was grad school, asking these questions, yes. going out and meeting the people. So I think mm-hmm. that's great advice in coming up with the plan way before it comes into effect. Mm-hmm. It's building a plan, right?
Absolutely. And then also finding someone who is already where you want to be. So whether there's a mentor, you know, Brené Brown always talks about the personal board of directors. And so who's on your team to help influence you so that when you have those moments of doubt, when you have those moments of wanting to give up, that board of directors, they can really step in and say, hey, you know, Karen, you know, you said you wanted to do this. Now let's move forward. Because let's be honest, life happens and we're all human, and there will be days and moments that we may not want to do that goal. But if you go back to your why, if you go back to your board of directors, if you go back to that 1% change and transformation every day, then that is what helps people to go from point A to point B.
I love this personal board of directors. I love that she does that. And I love that you use it, because I do believe in life.
Yeah.
We need support. In fact, yes. there are many studies about when you are, you know, now we're talking about you know, perhaps fulfilling a dream or making a change and living this life you want to live, because many people, you know, what's the hardship here? I think we all have hardship, day-to-day hardship, where we might feel stuck, where we might feel like, okay, I'm in this grind of my work. I need my work. So I'm not in the mode of thinking about what do I really want? And last but certainly not least, you know, in 2023, I had a big birthday. And I think a lot of people that are, you know, edging on, it really could be edging on 40, edging on 50, edging on 60 before that, you know, America retirement date, so to speak, you're starting to think about your legacy and like what's next for me. And so I think a lot of what you're talking about here can lead to that.
Absolutely.
So I like that we're talking about this space. So what is A? That would be A. Next, right?
Can you guess what it is? I'm going to turn the mic around a little bit. Can you guess?
self-reflection, plan, activate?
Very close. So it's acceptance. So that is, I wanted to include that in there because a lot of times we do the plan, Karen. And then from there, it's like, okay, we want to just rush into it, but we have to accept where we are. So what are some of the things that we're really good at? What are some things that we need to work on? You know, and so it's just really accepting who we are in that moment before we move into grind mode and going full throttle.
Well, I like that. And I feel like acceptance could go through the rest of the phases too.
Yeah.
Because many times we look in a good way to other people and other businesses as role models.
Yes.
And we take, you know, what's that saying? I always mess up sayings about like copying is the highest form of flattery, right?
Yes.
Obviously,
exactly.
You don't plagiarize, you don't take someone's business idea, right? But there might be a video that you did that I would like, or vice versa. That's like, oh, I'm going to, you know, that's going to be my inspiration. Mm-hmm. And so that being said, it also, especially on digital platforms, is hard because then you start the comparison game.
Exactly.
Right. And so I feel like acceptance, accept where you are, when you are, always, and honor it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
Because there's a time and a place I think we can learn from watching other people and aspiring to be like that. But every single time I've compared myself to other businesses or other people, I can't like remember when it brings me, you know, you go down that rabbit hole of like, my numbers are not this. And then when my numbers get that, I may not be as happy as I thought I'd be. So
exactly.
Be careful what you wish for is that lesson. But acceptance, I think,
acceptance,
where you're at
before
you begin the plan, but also throughout, is a strong one.
Exactly. Love it.
All right. So C. Can I do C is for cookie. It's not cookie.
It's not cookie, but there's a trifecta for three. And so, for C. And so the first C is community. The second C is courage. And the last C is consistency. And at first, you know, Karen, I was like, let's just do one, but all three of them are equally important. So when you think about community, that goes back to the personal board of directors, that goes back to your mentors, that goes back to your family and friends who will push you, whether it's hardship, whether you're making that transition from corporate to entrepreneurship, you need someone. And that's one thing that I learned in my experience was I had to take off that superwoman cape, Karen. I'm like, you know what? I can't do it by myself. I have to be open and honest and realize that I have gone as far as I can by myself. I need my personal board of directors. I need my mentors. I need my family and friends to push me and help me get to from point A to point B, whether it's, again, your health, whether it's your wellness, or whether it's your career.
All right. I like that. I totally stand behind all that. I think, you know, it goes back to community and support or one-on-one. Although I will say that, do you find that sometimes it takes time to build that community? Because maybe the first one that you're trying to jump into, whether it's a Facebook group or it's meetings, you know, at the local community center, may not be the right one for you.
Absolutely. And it takes time, like you said, whether it's a support group. But I always tell people, start with your inner circle, like, you know, someone. And so you don't have to always go out for that community. Your community could be starting with your kids. Your community could be with your husband as your accountability partner or whoever is in your life at that time, or going back to your college friends. You have people that's in your circle that are willing and able to help in that moment. And then as you begin to expand, you know, you can expand your circles to the support groups and to the community at large.
All right. I think that's great. I think it's easy. Well, I don't want to say it's easy, right? Because what might be easy to one person might not be easy for another person. Yeah. I want to say to that, there are hopefully supportive people in, you know, to you, the listener, in your life. So when you're looking for that personal board of directors, that extra community group, you also might have a friend who's really good at listening. So that's your venting, who you need to vent and think things through. You might have another friend who's really good at taking notes. So you might ask them to come to with you to see a speaker that could help. And then they take good notes for you.
Absolutely.
So I think in building that, it takes time and playing to people's strength. There's also people I found that I thought were going to be so supportive and that might have been for a moment, but didn't continue to be. And the truth is it's not that they were being unsupportive. They weren't being as supportive as some others, and that's okay.
Absolutely.
It's what I'm doing, what you're doing, what the next person is doing may not be, you know, people will get on board right away to cheer you on and they'll be there in their own way. But I think that was important is I didn't, once I learned myself, at least with my work, this new work will say that it was a little harder to find. It was easy at first because I just went to these people that I knew. But then it got a little harder as time went on because people are busy and people have different, if you want more, you've got to ask for it. And people
absolutely
don't always, well, they can't read your mind and it might not be their specialty to, in my case, work with an entrepreneur. So I think that being open to letting it take time is really helpful too.
Absolutely. And I'm going to give you a shift of perspective as well, because when we think about community, we often think about people, but sometimes books can be a part of your community, because think about it, the authors have already gone through what you've gone through. So if you cannot immediately find your board of directors, pick up a book from Brené Brown or from Michelle Obama or from whoever it may be, whatever the topic of discussion is, find it in a book. And then, you know, as you're getting nuggets from them, again, they're a part, you don't have to know them for them to be a part of your community. So I often find a lot of help and inspiration from books.
Well, and then, of course, I was going to say, we got to plug podcasts too. I find that a lot of authors, look at us, right? A lot of authors have podcasts or are on podcasts. And so I've enjoyed that because there's somebody that I love. They just wrote a book and then they're talking about it. But what they talk about might've been that one place in the book that I wasn't paying as close attention.
Absolutely.
And that I think has been fun and enlightening. So, absolutely. So what's the last one?
So the last one is exposure. So you mentioned earlier about, you know, if a friend goes to a conference and they take notes for you. So in order for you to shift from existing to living and for you to find your truth, after you've done the self-reflection, after you've done the plan, after you've had the acceptance, and after you've done the community courage and consistency, you have to expose. So what does that mean, Karen? So the exposure can be sharing your ideas with someone. Exposure can mean going to a conference and really making sure you understand whatever it is that you're trying to go through. So going back to shifting from corporate to entrepreneurship, going to those conferences about how you start your business, going to the SBA and exposing your ideas and your business plan to someone who can help. So essentially it is getting out of your head and putting it in the public eye. So it could be to a family friend. It could be, like I said, to the SBA expert or someone of that nature.
So you and I, as we're talking about this and we're talking about, like, say, dreams or kind of that dream life, what if it's not the work? What if it's, I've been working so much, like there's other ways. It doesn't have to be work. It could be making more time to be personal with family, right? So do you need a business plan? One would say, no, you don't need a business plan. But if you, I'm assuming if you've been on this, I'm living my life the way I'm living my life. I'm on a schedule. My life is scheduled. Yeah. You need a shift.
Exactly.
So I'd like to talk about to that working mom, to that busy mom that stays at home, that's expected to do a million things because they allegedly have the time, but they might really not because they're busy. To that, they don't even have to be a mom, to the working woman or busy woman that's just, their plate is full. And they probably, one, as you said, self-reflection, they need mindset. But can we talk a little bit there about, they may not want to start this big dream. They just might want their life to be a little different.
Yeah. And I would say, if someone asks me, if one of my clients said, Tonda, you know, I want something different. And so I would turn it back to them and I would say, well, what do you want? You know, what about your life do you want to change? So it's about self-identifying, like, what do you want to change? And then once you identify that, kind of going back to what Simon Sinek said, what is your why? So define why you want to shift, define why you want to make that small change or that large change, because that why should be front and center, because that is what's going to keep you going. So case in point, for a working mom or for a mom, a stay-at-home mom, maybe they want more me time. Maybe they want more time to themselves so that they can find themselves, because, you know, I'm sure you can relate to it as well. When I first had my child, you know, I lost myself. I stopped writing. I stopped doing a lot of things that I did. I stopped doing poetry. I stopped speaking because I was so focused on and gung-ho about being this perfect mom that I forgot everything else. And, you know, it was very difficult. It was a very difficult time in my life. And so I had to stop and say, you know, this is not it. this is not what I want to do. I love my kids 100%, but there's more to me than just being a mom. And so I had to sit back and going back to that self-reflection. Okay, well, what do you want? What do you want? So if this is not working, what is that ideal time? What is that ideal lifestyle that you want? And then from there, Karen, I start to really establish, okay, well, I want more time to myself so that I can make more time to write. Okay, let's stop there. Okay, so what does that take? How do you need to carve out more time so that you can write or so that you can take on more speaking engagements? Well, I need to create systems to free myself up. So that's the first thing I would tell your listeners, create systems even in your house. So what does that look like? So system could be, you know, having a simple menu. That's something that we do in our house. We have a simple menu. We rotate about six different recipes or six different options. And so that I'm not always thinking about, oh, what am I cooking tonight? No, I go to my simple menu and I know exactly I can choose from these six options. And I've already, you know, of course, gone to the grocery store, but it's creating those systems and simplifying those everyday tasks so that they're not burdensome, but you could easily get to it. Another system would be for kids. When my son was 3 years old, we created a magnetic checklist. And so a lot of times in the morning, that was where a lot of my time was being absorbed. It's like, okay, Josh, did you brush your teeth? Did you make up your bed? I'm like, you know, how can I create a system? And so literally I created a magnetic checklist with five different things for him to do. And I made it fun and really easy with pictures and words so that he can say, okay, well, did I brush my teeth? Well, no, because I don't have the magnet there. And we would literally go through it. And it took some time, but guess what now, Karen? He is almost 11. He'll be 11 on Sunday. And now it's in his mind, it's ingrained. And so that's how I can do my meditation and my yoga in the morning, because that freed up my time and we created systems. And again, going back to space for me to have more time to myself.
That's great. And you're sitting here talking and now, you know, my kid's 15 and I'm thinking of, okay, the checklist works when they're young. Hopefully, maybe not with everybody, but I think with a lot of people it can. It's going back, right? And as they get older, you know, it can become a little harder.
Yeah.
However, on the same note, like a 15-year-old's going to potentially go to college in a few years and very, you know, will likely be going off on his own, whether he goes to college or not. Or so with that, I know now I'm trying hard to do something that is not easy for me which is letting go of, like, if I have a system myself, is one, trying to get my family involved in it. For instance, the, you know, you're kind of talking a little bit about meal planning, the, okay, here's the schedule for the week. When are we going to fit different things in? And I'm like, literally last week I sat down with my family and I had my son take the notes that I normally did. Did he like it? No, he did not. But I handed him the calendar. And I'm like, all right, like, I need help here. Yeah. And my hope is that we can continue doing that. I'm like, well, you want rides to school, don't you?
Yeah.
You need me to take you to baseball. So I need this so I can help you. Now, listen, I don't know if that's going to work for other people, but what I'm trying to do is, like you said, teach him at an older age, like, here's how you can manage time, knowing that this is what we need have, and here's what you need to do associated with it. Just because you have baseball on Monday night doesn't, you know, you still need to get there, and you still need to, in our case, allow 45 minutes to an hour. That does. I've also, for me, finding the time is, and now I have done this for years, is in that carpooling, like when the kids get older, and if you might be driving them around a lot, there is a lot of time there that isn't the way you want it. So could I do yoga in the parking lot of the baseball club? I won't. Could I? Yes, I could. But I could take a walk.
Exactly.
Or I've even thought about, is there a gym nearby? Could I do 20 minutes there? I don't know if I'll do that either. But these are things that it's, I think, you were talking about carving out time differently. And in a way, I'm saying take that time that you're already doing that thing and inserting, you know, hey, listen, when you're making dinner, could you do squats to exercise? Is exercises on your list? Well, yeah, but that's where we also want a little bit of quality time, right? It's,
sure.
It's looking at your time differently. I think that can be really helpful when you're busy. The writing thing, I can't tell you how many times I've worked on things for this podcast sitting in a car, right? Like I think working moms, we've figured out that a little bit, but going back to the table, because each time our schedules change, new time comes about. And so looking at the things you want to do, like, I want to read more and I want it to be fun reading, not just nonfiction, because I do read a lot of nonfiction. So do I just take that book, put it in my purse, and 10 minutes at the end before baseball ends, do I read for 10 minutes? Right?
Absolutely. I love that. And just like you said, being creative with your time. And I do that often. My son plays soccer, and while he's at practice, I'm literally, Karen, walking around the field, or I'm jogging, I have my sweats on, and just being creative with the time that you do have. And so it's a win-win for both of us. I'm exercising and he's at practice.
Right. I love it. And hey, you know, sometimes the weather doesn't work out or it's dark, but go back to the table and I guess think of other ways. Well, I am so grateful that you have spent the time with us today, because this is, I feel like we could talk for hours on how, you know, just tips and tricks on how to better our lives. And I think, again, you're looking here to inspire women. Can you tell us a little bit before we head to what I call the grateful game? So stay tuned for that, because it's something I really do believe that gratitude can help make our lives even better. But I want to hear about your book, because I know that affirmations, to some people, they're woo-woo. And they won't go there. What would you say to that person about, like, come on, try it, consider, and what's in your book, 15 Affirmations, although I could probably guess.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say you're right. A lot of people, when they think of affirmations, like, oh, does it really work? And should I try it? And I would tell my clients, because they always say, well, Tanya, you're always telling me to shift from existing to living. How do I do it? And so, of course, beyond the space framework, I was like, you know what? I'm going to write an ebook, free for everyone. And here's some affirmations. It focuses on confidence and preparation and time and uncontrollables, because those are some things that often hinder us from shifting from existing to living and fulfilling our purpose. And so when it comes to affirmations, you know, there's a mind-body connection. And I'm not going to try to get too scientific, but Karen, when it comes to speaking something new or doing something new, we have what's called neural pathways. And so every time you say something new, every time you try something new, a light will go between the neurons in your brain, right? And so affirmations literally create new pathways within your brain to help you shift and to not feel stuck. You know, there's a saying that's called, you know, stinking thinking, right? And so when you say those affirmations, it literally transforms the thoughts that are in your mind to help you figure out, wow, there's something I can do. Case in point, I'll give you a story. When I first started off in corporate, I was really afraid, you know, when I was with the executives and I was in the board meetings and I was like, oh, I'm kind of nervous to talk about my presentation, even though since I was a little girl, I've been speaking to audiences. But I said an affirmation, and my affirmation basically says, I speak with clarity, confidence, and consistency. People want to hear what I have to say because it brings life. And I would say that before those presentations, and it would literally help me to calm down and help me to find my center. Because again, I changed my thinking and I said, you know, Tandi, they want to hear it. You have what it takes. And it's not just about the affirmation. There is a twofold component. It's affirmation and action. You can't just say things and say it and say it. There has to be action that aligns with the affirmations that you say.
That is great. And I think that might be the missing piece. Mm-hmm. When I've talked to people about affirmations, and I believe it for when you were talking about the neurons, and if you just break it down and think about how we as people oftentimes have negative self-talk in our head and we don't even know it. You look into a mirror and you might think something that you've been thinking since you were a kid and you don't even really realize it. It might be in the tone or it might be the way you touch your side. Yeah. And that's those, it's the same, I want to say pathways that are going the same way over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so when you change the words, when you actually say something, and then if you add an action to it, I think that would be even more intense, or the ability to make the change, that can help you feel different, do different towards something you really want. But again, I think it all comes back to, you don't need to know the answers of what you want now, but one should explore it if they want to make changes in their lives, whether they're big changes or small changes, explore it. I know that there's many of us, and I'll raise my hand here. I oftentimes have gone for other people for the answer. What should I be when I grow up? What should I do? Yeah. What should I wear this weekend? And that has a place. It comes with the support. And when you were talking about the personal VIP group, or I call them like my VIPs.
Sure.
But, the personal board of directors, is that it's good to ask people and get advice, but ultimately when it comes from yourself, it does mean so much more. But I do think it takes time to get there. And I like that. I think one of the ways is that not just coming up with the affirmation itself, but trying to give yourself an action to get yourself closer there. So thank you.
Absolutely.
You are so filled with so many, not just words of wisdom, but nuggets of wisdom that have been incredibly helpful. So I know people can go online, they can get your ebook. I will put in the show notes different links to your social media so people know where to reach out to you, whether it's just to follow you or it's to consider you as a client. There are so many different avenues to get your gems of wisdom. So I want to end with the Grateful Game. And for those that are new to me, this is something my son and I created when he was about 9. So several years ago, and I had just come from a motivational speaking event where somebody handed me a gratitude journal. And I thought like, wow, this would be kind of fun. I don't have a ton of time. Let me do it with my son. And I found that you're up late at night. The light was still on. We're trying to write it down. It didn't work the way my original plan was for it. So what we ended up doing was just lying in bed, chatting in the dark about what we were grateful for and why in that day. And what I found is when we did it regularly, was it every day? Not necessarily, but we did it regularly. We then looked for things in our day to come back and to tell each other about. And so it started out as just a little thing to do, which ended up really bringing us mindful moments throughout the day. And so that is why I encourage you, if you're new to this or not, to consider finding a mindful practice. Maybe it's when you're brushing your teeth because you got the time for 2 minutes where you can think about, all right, here's something happened on the last day. It was an awesome day. So you have a lot of things. Or it was a pretty cruddy day. You know what, though? I had the opportunity to eat a brownie. that made me happy. Mm-hmm. And sometimes in those hard days, it's the brownie that gets you through. Or exactly. It's the call, the 5-minute call that you have with somebody that you love. Mm-hmm. So I want to hear from you, Tondi. What is something in the last 24 hours for that you are grateful for and why?
Wow. So many things. And I would say, you know, tomorrow is my 41st birthday. And so I am thankful.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. I am thankful for life. You know, when you go through your cancer journey and, you know, life flashes before you, it puts things into perspective for you to realize like, wow, life can be snatched away just like that. The people that you love can be snatched away just like that. And so I am thankful for life. And one thing I tell my kids is, you are living the life that someone is praying for, right? And so it's like when you sit back and you think about that, it's like, wow, I'm grateful for life. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my health as well. What else? I'm grateful for energy to be able to exercise. Yes. And to be able to play soccer with my kids and badminton and do things that I wasn't able to do last year because of the journey. And so when it comes to energy, I'm like, wow, it's something that we once took for granted, but now I am completely grateful for energy.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And for those of you that are listening, I hope you take a moment to think about what you are grateful for and why. Yeah. Because like I said, doing it regularly or just here and there can really, you know, is it going to change the outcome of something huge in your life? Oh, maybe not. But is it going to make you smile? Is it going to give you a moment of peace? Perhaps. Mm-hmm. And that's why I encourage people to do so. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Tondi, for being here today. Thank you to the listeners for being here. Please reach out to both of us if you have any questions or listen, if you love us, if you could review us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to this podcast, or just stick with us because we're here to talk about topics that hopefully will help make your life or bring joy to whatever journey that you're going through in life. So thanks, everyone, and bye for now. One more thing. I would be so grateful if you'd take a minute to rate, review, and subscribe. You leaving a review helps us with our podcast ranking. The higher we are ranked, the more people can discover our show. Thank you so much for joining us today. I'm sending you lots of happiness and great health.